AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, we're back. Here we go again. It's a bunch of straight guys talking sports and whatever. So what else can I say? Been a fun week. I had a great week this week. I was school vacation all over the place as usual. Eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking, as the song says, and we're all over the place. No CB radio, cell phones now. So, we're here to hit it hard, and some hit it soft. But we will...
Sounds like a personal problem.
Yep. We're going off the rails already, Tom. Here we go. We haven't even inserted. Well, speaking of that, before we get into emails, did anybody see the insert from last week with the Phantom clip? Did anybody see that from last week's episode? You gotta.
I did not.
You gotta go back and watch it. If you've seen it, you'd be laughing your ass off. So,
okay.
I might have another one to drop in this week. It's gonna be like vignettes leading up to WrestleMania for the Phantom. Very good. The Phantom is a big fan of Brad. I didn't know that they served in the military. Desert Storm from 1991 through 94 over in the Persian Gulf. So they spent some time and money, obviously, over there. If you've seen the clip, it's great.
Yeah. We were hanging out for sure.
Yeah. So, Edward, before we get, let's get serious for a minute. Can we get serious for a minute, Ed?
We're always serious, bro.
So this week, there is no email. We did a very, very special interview. And Ed, tell us a little bit about that with our lead up for emails.
Well, first and foremost, this is brought to you by GoonGuard.com. GoonGuard, check him out. Best mouth guards on the planet. Check him out. Check out Andy's screen right there. He's holding them up. They set up in the microwave in 10 seconds. Use the promo code 1973. So we didn't get an email this week, but we did have an interview that we're going to set in here. This is with Gabriel Rose. He has type 1 diabetes, and he is an up-and-coming football player in the Metro Chicago area. And so he shared with us his story about finding out that he got type 1 diabetes and his journey up through his sophomore year. And it was pretty interesting. Check him out. Good kid. Definitely, he's hanging and banging in the weight room. And it was really a pleasure to talk to, our good friend Dennis, his son, and share his experience with us.
So we're going to drop that in probably right around, I'll throw it in there. There we go. So moving on, we're going to get into some a little quick sports talk before we get into Elimination Chamber talk and Dark Side of the Ring preview. Thomas, news on coming out of Coyotes country. Not too good. Not too good.
I'm glad there weren't any cameras back in the day when we were going out raising hell, because these kids are not very bright. This kid from the Arizona Coyotes, Adam Rogiska, mistakenly posted on Instagram, and it was apparently a video of him. There was some cocaine on the table. There was a credit card on the table. And then it panned back to him, and I don't know what the hell he was doing with the – I don't know what the – but he's – they terminated his contract now. So he's out of a two-year, $1.5 million contract that he had. And the interesting thing is the league, the NHLPA has – I think 60 days to file a grievance, and apparently they've already pretty much said they're not going to grieve it. So he's in some trouble, I guess.
Yeah, it's not the first time that they've posted on Instagram like that. Who was it?
Kuznetsov.
What was it, 2 years ago?
Yep.
And then there was the cab incident, right, where the guy was tearing up, you know, saying that, you know who I am and all that stuff. So,
yep. Austin Matthews, I think.
You know, you got to blame the mustache and the fidget spinner for that. But I don't know. I don't know. These guys need to lay off the yayo. It seems to be not a good thing unless you're trying to get ripped for training camp. I think it doesn't work for you, Ed.
Well, I'm just going to say this, and I know that Brad's going to tag in at some point on this one. Look, all the great athletes back in the 80s were doing it. You know, I mean, look. I mean, Ultimate Warrior. I mean, tell me. I mean, you know, allegedly the man was doing what he was. You know, may or may not have been doing it. You know, I mean, some of those promos and that type of thing. To piggyback on to Tom, you're absolutely right. I mean, bottom line is this: like, you know, it goes back to the old Herm Edwards thing. Think before you hit send. You know what I mean? Come on. You know what I mean? Like use half of your brain. I mean, even if you're coked out, don't hit send. Like, come on. It doesn't make any sense. Like you have a shot where I know that there's four of us here that grew up playing hockey and whatnot. And you know, it would be a dream to play. It would be a dream to play in the NHL. And you're sitting there doing blow and you're going to put it up on the internet. Man, you're stupid.
I don't know. I might be the minority here. I mean, it's 2024. Like is doing blow that big of a deal? You lose your whole opportunity to play. Like, give them a 2-week, 3-week, 4-week suspension. Bring them. It's cocaine, guys.
This is coming from a Dallas Cowboy fan who the Cowboys notoriously allegedly had a house that Jerry Jones paid for the players back in the Leon Lett and Michael Irvin days to party in.
Look, guys, it's cocaine. It's the most readily accessible drug in America. It's not a big deal.
Jeez, what part of the U.S. do you live in?
Bro, anybody can get cocaine. It is so easy to get. Like, come on, man.
Cocaine's one hell of a drug.
Man, like, come on, dude. Cocaine and weed, those are the two most basic drugs. Like, give me a break. I think he should be punished. I don't think he should lose his whole contract. That's ridiculous. Give my man's a break.
There's a code of conduct, though. So, I mean, when you sign your contract, it's in your contract. So,
I know. I think it's dumb people in the military get kicked out for cocaine. Like, it's cocaine. Give me a break.
I'm with Brad.
Ed, do you want to post? Do you want to comment about the legal from the legal team? Do you already have a note from the legal team yet on these?
Yeah, all of this stuff is all on allegedly, and this is not personal, and we were not held responsible for any comments or that these gentlemen have made or anything like that.
I'd like to apologize as your host for the comments made by the crew. And also by Chris wearing that jacket. Thank you.
Hey, this is my drinking jacket today, buddy.
What are you going to wear that jacket? In case you fall down and get road rash?
Exactly. There'll be some falling tonight, that's for sure.
Hey, stay off the cocaine and blow, or you might lose your spot on the podcast.
I got a nice idea for my next TikTok with cocaine, okay?
Oh, yeah. Put me up with that.
Brother. Hey, so, Tom, you are the beacon of bringing us back to True North. The professor himself, you got to bring us back with this week's Tom Shitty Picks, brought to you by the guy that loves the Boston Celtics and their record.
Yes, their record, by the way, Scotty. Hold on. I have it here. Their record, 44-12, your first place Boston Celtics.
Ooh.
Well, there you go. Cut here. That's our basketball talk for the evening. Thank you very much.
Put a pin in it.
Tom's Shitty Picks is brought to you by Brock Street Brewing Company, located at 244 Brock Street South in Whippy, Ontario. The brewery is home to a banquet hall, an on-site restaurant, and a members lounge. Everything they brew is done in-house, including sours, lagers, and vodka sodas. They have something for everyone. So if you're in Whitby, go check them out and tell them the 1973 podcast sent you. All right. So last week, I kind of nailed it with my pick, Artemi Panarin, in the stadium game. He had 3 points, had a goal, 2 assists, and he got the game-winning goal. So this week, it's going to be an emotional game tomorrow. So I'm only going with tomorrow's game. Patrick Kane goes back and returns to Chicago, first time since he went to the Red Wings. So I'm picking Patrick Kane, I think, mainly because I think there are going to be a lot of tears coming from the Phantom's house, because he is a notorious Patrick Kane fan and Chicago Blackhawks. So he's going to cry twice, because he's going to see Kane and the Blackhawks are going to lose. So I think Patrick Kane's going to have the big game.
And they're retiring Chelios' jersey, right?
Yes, that's right.
Hey, right. Tom, you nailed two things on that pick. You nailed the coffin on me for my fantasy playoffs with that damn pick. He lit me up, and I literally got knocked out. I'm done.
It's Tom's shitty picks for a reason. Not
exactly.
Not Chris's coffin picks. So just
was the sponsorship available on that for you, Chris, though. I mean, Chris, you gotta go run to the funeral home, brother. I mean, here you go.
This is true. So, Tom, a couple of quick things. You know, you can hold me to this one, okay? So I'm going to make some predictions like I did with the Super Bowl.
Hold on, let me grab my pen. No.
You know, I love to do this. It's going to be on the recording, so you can look back. I'm going Lakers to win the NBA title this year. Okay? All right? We'll go Boston Bruins to win the Stanley Cup. You like that one?
You're trying to jinx them.
Okay. And I'm going to go baseball. I'm going to say the Dodgers are going to win this year. How's that sound?
The Dodgers better win, because the team that they've assembled on their pitching staff alone.
But yeah, boom, just figure out, throw it out there. Throw, you know how they say manifest, throw it out there in the universe and it'll happen.
Boom, just throw it out there. Elliot Friedman this week said in his weekly thing, his weekly column said that the Bruins have started to open up, be a little more open to the idea of trading Linus Ullmark. They want to get a top six forward or a top four defenseman.
Yeah, and that,
they don't have anyone. They don't have any draft picks to trade, so they're going to trade somebody off the roster.
And that contract's dog shit that he has too. So
yeah, I was going to say, what else can they do? They don't have much else to offer. If they want to make a splash, that's all they can do. And you know what? Fucking go for it.
Go for it.
Go for it.
We're not messing around today. Just go for it.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Did you see, AC, did you see the fight today in your Flyers game?
I didn't watch it yet. I am going to watch it as soon as the podcast is done.
Delorier, I'll tell you, is Delorier and I think the guy's last name is Rempe.
Yeah, they just brought him up.
Yes, they had a wicked good fight. It lasted a good minute, and they were throwing some haymakers.
Yeah,
that dude had a good 6 inches on him too, and he was tossing him around. It looked bad on him anyway.
So we'll put a cap in that, and we'll get to the heavy stuff. Ready for the bringing everybody for the heavy lifting this week. I got before we get into the gist of the show, the Elimination Chamber, I'm going to drop in right here this week's cryptic message from the Phantom. So I'm going to drop it in right here somewhere, like right now. Yep. So, Bradley, let's talk Elimination Chamber. That looks like a very expensive belt.
Lucas bought this with his own Christmas money.
Honestly,
I don't know how he gets so much Christmas money. Like, I didn't get that much as a kid.
You know why? I'll tell you why. All that cocaine in that house.
Hey. Well, if we're snorting it, that money's just going up your nose. It's not like we're dealing it. You know. But Elimination Chamber, I wish I could have had, you know, just one rail of cocaine because I had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to watch this mug because they broadcast live from Perth. So we had to get up at four, and for the better part of the premium live event, it was pretty boring. I'm not even going to lie. It's a necessary evil to get us to WrestleMania, so I understand it. The Women's Elimination Chamber, I fell asleep. I think Becky Lynch won. Total snooze fest.
Who watches wrestling for women, Brad?
Yeah, it was not exciting.
Guys on cocaine.
We needed a couple of rails of blow. We would have been into it. Even Lucas fell asleep. Lucas is absolutely obsessed. He's the one that woke me up at 4 a.m. to watch it. The tag team title match again, Judgment Day won. It wasn't that exciting. The men's elimination chamber, spoiler alert, I fell asleep. It wasn't that exciting.
Thank goodness for your reporting.
Right. Woke up to watch McIntyre win it, and I was like, okay, that's we'll go with that. Rhea Ripley defended her title, and guess what? Once again, I fell asleep. Like, it was not exciting. I get it. We had to set that up to get us to WrestleMania. The most exciting part of Elimination Chamber, in my opinion, was Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins coming out and having their interview with Grayson Waller, where Seth Rollins, for like the fifth time, confirmed he was going to be in Cody Rhodes' corner to take on the Bloodline, which seems more and more like a setup. I'm hoping he does a heel turn and reverts back to his Shield, days and takes Roman Reigns' side. I think that would be absolutely incredible. But also, Cody Rhodes challenged The Rock to a 1v1. So hopefully we see that. I don't know if they're going to save that for like night one, and then night two is the title. I don't know what they're going to do. But he challenged them. And that whole interview with Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins was probably the most exciting part of Elimination Chamber.
So it's pretty interesting off this kind of blasé setup for WrestleMania, that going into one of the biggest WrestleMania draws that they've had, that there's not really a card announced yet. It's kind of all kind of still up in the air. They haven't even announced a Hall of Fame inductee this year. The big one is usually right around Royal Rumble, and then they kind of filter in after that. So I don't know if the Vince McMahon thing is kind of, the transition is all new, and it's like maybe he's the one that has the final say on the picks, and now it's not him anymore, which is great because Triple H is the one that built the bridge to bring Bruno back, built the bridge to get the Ultimate Warrior back in the fold. He does do a lot of stuff that's best for the fans. So I have faith in him that he's going to kind of right that ship until he gets pinned for something that he overlooked or whatever, or gets fingered for knowing about things and sweeping it under the rug. So that's all coming. We'll get into that more towards the end of the show. So one of the things we like to talk about, we did it last year, we're talking Dark Side of the Ring, starts March 5th. So first episode should be right around the corner. Next podcast, or maybe the podcast after that, will start. Make sure it's mandatory that we can at least watch an hour once a week. You good with that, Ed? So the first episode is John Tenta, Earthquake. Thoughts on Earthquake? You think that's they kind of straying away from what the Dark Side of the Ring is all about and going more like biography? Is that what they're doing? I mean, is there really a dark side to Earthquake? What thoughts on that, Tom?
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to go back to, I believe before he was in the WWE, he was in Calgary, the Stampede Wrestling. So I don't know. Maybe there's something there they could go with. I really don't know much more than what we saw in WWE, but he seemed kind of vanilla there. I don't know what kind of story they're going to have, but I think you're right. I think it may be more of a biography one.
Yeah, he was a sumo wrestler too at one time before he got into, and he is originally from Canada. So we'll see. That they're going to start the season off with the Earthquake episode. So we'll see how that goes. A couple other ones. I got the whole list here. Sandman, ECW episode. What do you think?
I think that's
go ahead, Ed.
I think that's going to be awesome, man. We've myself, you, and Tom, we saw him live at the Waltham Armory. Right? I mean, he and Sabu and Taz. I mean, back when ECW was all of a sudden, I remember Andrew called my student apartment voicemail and left a voicemail and said, dude, you have to check this out. And all you have to check it out. And it was on at this time. And I remember coming home from the bars from college and flipping it on. And all of a sudden, everybody in my whole student apartment was like watching ECW, right? Al Snow, all of that stuff, man. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be great.
Sandman, that should have a kind of crazy story to it, because that's a gimmick that just was totally built for ECW. I mean, I don't think that could ever work with anybody else anywhere else than there. And it's kind of a parody of itself now, because when you see him, I mean, what are you going to get from him? That his finishing move was like that Russian leg sweep thing with the cane and all that stuff. So it's like, you know, it fit the narrative for that time of, you know.
But it was, I mean, the thing about it is that at that time, you know what, 1994, 1995, 1996, 97, 98, that whole time period with ECW and that climb. I mean, it was, I mean, for that point, I mean, it was a bridge from what, you know, WCW was, and then when, or more towards like NWA stuff to WCW, and that bridge to the Attitude Era in WWE, you know, and then it really, really kind of like really exploded, and then they took over the WWE.
Yeah, I think a lot of the stuff that a lot of mainstream WWE fans were seeing at the time were kind of subtle ripoffs from what ECW was doing. Stone Cold with the beer drinking, I think he picked that up from when the Sandman was doing it before anybody really saw it. So there's a little steal in a page or two. I still think the Triple H game gimmick was stolen from the franchise, Shane Douglas and ECW. Still, when you didn't have that grand platform, if nobody saw it, it's not stealing. So I guess that episode could be all over the place. I like the episodes when they do them and the guy is still alive. I think it's kind of Bush League when they do it after they pass away. It kind of doesn't have the same feel when they're talking to a third party or a son of or whatever. So one I'm looking forward to. I think this one could be really great. Sherry Martel.
Mm.
Great, great. One of the, in my book, one of the best managers of all time. Sherry does not get the due for how good she was. She was like almost her wrestling ability and her being so hateable and over the top. And I mean, look at the guys that she managed. She managed Doug Summers and Playboy Buddy Rose. She managed Ted DiBiase. She managed Shawn Michaels, the Heartbreak Kid, first gimmick when he broke away from Jannetty. Macho King, Randy Savage, Harlem Heat. Who else did she manage? I know I'm missing somebody. There's somebody good in there that I'm missing too. But, I mean, she was the total opposite when she was with Randy Savage than Elizabeth was. Elizabeth was like that damsel in distress with this villain that you just wanted to see, like George Steele, steal her from him. To Sherry, who was way over the top, helping him, you know, cheat, and she would wear, they would put her in that stupid makeup that kind of made her look hideous, because she actually was kind of attractive at the time, and then those stupid outfits where, you know, her ass would be hanging out and all that other stuff, hanging off the cage, and so that it should be a good episode. And the way she passed away young. She, you know, was battling some drug addiction, so that should be great too. Tom, here's one for you. Gentleman Chris Adams.
One of my boys from work class, yes.
So there should be a lot of good stories with him, because he had that bipolar drinking personality that he was a great person when he wasn't drunk. But as soon as he got some drinks in him, he turned into a total asshole. One of the stories that they always talk about his incident on the plane where he was arrested because he headbutted the flight attendant. So, I mean, hopefully all these stories are told well. And Chris Adams, of course, his roommate was the one that killed him, shot him. So, yeah, there is a really dark side to that story. So that's going to be a decent one, too. Another one, Buff Bagwell. The saga of Buff Bagwell. So, I mean, it's going to be worth a watch because he's still around.
Yeah, he's still on doing independent shows.
Yeah, yeah. And he had like a Mr. Rogers gimmick for a little while where he was all clean cut and had the polo shirt on. So I'm hoping that, you know, we get the Buff is the Stuff story.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
So, fun fact about him, he was Missy Hyatt's neighbor in the development that they lived in, and she was the one that got him into wrestling in WCW. So, he was the handsome stranger in Global back in the day. If you remember Global Championship Wrestling, the tail end of what was World Class Championship Wrestling. So it'll be worth a watch. So,
do you think that one is like a filler episode, or do you think there's going to be like some depth to it?
I don't know. He's still alive. So, I mean, maybe it'll be like the Jannetty episode. If you guys saw that one where he's telling all kinds of stories. Mm. So it definitely, you guys need to play catch up with some of those older episodes just so that we can have some stuff to talk about. Great one. I don't know if this is going to be so much of a dark side as more of a biography, Harley Race. So when you talk about men's men, when wrestling was wrestling, he is a legit, after Haku, they talk about legit tough guys and pro wrestling, and Harley Race was one of them. You know, there was no way that you were swerving that guy and taking the belt off him if he didn't want to do a job for you. Story with Harley Race is he used to drive like 1,000 miles an hour with a case of beer and a cigarette on the steering wheel while he was driving. And I believe it was in the early 60s when he broke in. He was in a bad car wreck and killed his first wife. And it never changed the way he drove the whole time he was driving. It's just, they built them different back then, fellas. And when they say guys were tough, there's a famous story about him. They were in a diner and somebody called him phony. And he picked up one of, you know, those glass Heinz ketchup bottles back in the day. He cracked the guy over the head with the ketchup bottle. And he says, is that fake? You know, like back when you could be blackballed from working in the wrestling business if you didn't stick up for the business. And that's the stuff, like when I see the stuff with the Young Bucks, how they almost like the name of their book is called Killing the Business. So I would love to see them pull their shenanigans with somebody that used to be like that. Just, you know, where they're laughing at it, you know, just because they had a trampoline set up in their backyard and that's how they learned, and you know, they were Hardy Boys mocks or whatever. So Harley Race, I'm looking forward to that one.
So Andy, I think Rick talks about Harley at one time about actually making some dude's eye pop out a couple times.
Oh yeah. Those guys used to know how to pop eyeballs out like with a fish hook to the eye, and they would like fish hook it out and like leave it like that, so the guy was like all distraught until they popped it back in. Just old school things like that. Great story, staying on the Harley Race thing. Stockade 83, where he dropped the belt to Flair. Vince McMahon tried the night before to have Harley Race not show up at Stockade 83. And he was going to throw all kinds of money at him to bring the belt to New York. And him no-show that for a Starrcade pay-per-view, which preceded WrestleMania by almost 2 years. But just everybody thinks WrestleMania was the first one. Starrcade was the first one. And there was a snowstorm in North Carolina that Harley Race drove through just to be there, to be in the main event, to put Flair over for that title. And he told him, he pulled him aside and told him, I'm here for you. You know, for this, I'm here because of you for this. So Flair always tells that story, probably absolute better than I could ever tell it. So Harley Race, man's man. They don't make them like that anymore. Another one that I'm really looking forward to, because they hardly know anything about this guy, Chris Cole. I guess there's a wrestling lore on this guy where if you guys had a chance to see the trailer for this year's episodes, I don't know if you saw it, Tom. There's a scene. I guess Chris Cole was like a really good like worker, and he couldn't work sober. He always had to be inebriated somehow. So there's a famous match that he had where he was inside a steel cage and he was on acid. And this is the 70s. And all he could see coming over the top of the steel cage was giant tarantulas. And he was like totally like flipping out during the match. So if you get a chance to watch the preview for season 5, it touches on all that stuff. So Chris Cole, I guess he was a roadie for Joe Cocker on the side. So it's a whole, that stuff I'm wicked interested in, and the stuff that nobody ever talks about before, it totally gets forgotten. If you're a wrestling historian, like I'd like to be, it's going to be, that one's going to be great. So speaking of a little Vince McMahon segue, Black Saturday. Tom, you know what Black Saturday is?
Nope.
Ed, Black Saturday? Okay, so when Georgia Championship Wrestling got was in its transition period, Vince McMahon bought the major part of that TBS time slot at 6:05. So they actually changed the wrestling without anybody knowing at 6:05 on a Saturday night from Georgia Championship Wrestling with Gordon Solie to a WWF program. So you can go and find bootleg DVDs of, I think it was an 8-month run of WWF in the TBS studio, as you know it. And what ended up stopping it was people were so pissed because they were so used to seeing Gordon Solie for so many years that they actually were writing in to TBS saying, where is Gordon Solie? Where's my NWA? I don't know these guys. They might recognize a guy that used to be there, but they did that all the way till March of 85. So it was the summer of 84 to March of 85. Mm-hmm. So when Vince sold his share of to get that time slot back, he took that money and parlayed it into the WrestleMania money. It's a true story. It's a true story. So there was one guy that Vince couldn't buy his shares off of, and it was Ole Anderson. So the funny story about Ole, and I would love to see him be on this episode, is the first time Vince McMahon met him when he was trying to buy out all the territories, he met with Ole, and he says, hey, Ole, nice to meet you. I'm Vince McMahon. He goes, go fuck yourself, and walks away from him. So a year later, when he had already bought the time slot, and Ole was the only one that wouldn't sell him his shares to that time slot, he flies Ole up to New York. They're meeting at a restaurant in New York. Ole walks in, Vince McMahon's sitting there. He hadn't seen him since that last time. He walks in the restaurant, true story. Vince is sitting there with Linda, his wife. He says, hey, Ole, nice to see you again. This is my wife, Linda. She stands up to shake his hand. Vince is already standing up. He goes, fuck you and fuck her too. And he turns around and walks out. So, he said, as Ole was walking out, he told him, you'll never work in the WWF. And that's why when they put the Horseman in, they didn't put Ole in. So, yeah, I would love to see them get Ole, grizzled old Ole Anderson on that episode. So that should be good. That's another one I'm looking forward to, because it depends on how they tell the story and who they talk to. And unfortunately, a lot of the guys have passed on. I think Jerry Briscoe was a shareholder in that time slot too. Jack's gone, but Jerry, you know, he had a long run with Vince. He was one of the stooges for years in the Attitude Era. So that should be a good one. Speaking of Vince McMahon, things are heating up, fellas, with the Vince McMahon saga. Mm. Alfred, what do you got this week from the Vince McMahon saga?
Well, I mean, Bret Hart came out and spoke out a little bit. And, you know, for the most part, it's just kind of Bret Hart, I think, kind of venting some shit. And he has a lot of bad blood there. And but the most interesting thing is Paul Roma came out. And I don't know where News Nation, where does that even broadcast on? But News Nation keeps getting all these exclusive interviews. They had Ashley Massaro's friend, and now they had Paul Roma. But Paul Roma alluded to a situation that was more despicable and more severe than what's going on right now with this whole saga. And I'm like, well, if you know what's up, like, unless some NDAs were signed, right? Like, how are folks not obligated to come forward? You know, and then, you know, Stephanie McMahon has been named as kind of like being in the know. So I'm like, why isn't more stuff steamrolling? It's almost like if they don't find these folks to come out and keep talking about it, it's just kind of dying out in the news. And I don't want to see that. I want to see more. You know, there's got to be something more out there than what they're feeding us. So, like I said, I don't know. There's some NDAs.
Michael Bradley.
What's that?
I said, on to the next news cycle. That's what's going on.
That basically, it's like, you know, The Rock came back. People forgot about what happened. You know, it's like.
That's why they were Rock out there with Cody. Come on now. Yeah. Come on. Why do you think they did?
Yeah, now, basically.
Come on.
I don't know. I'm a big conspiracy theorist, but I'm thinking that I don't. If Stephanie McMahon knows, here's my deal, right? How does Triple H not know? He's fucking married to her. Sorry, Mama AC. I didn't mean to say that word. But Triple H, how does he not know? If she knows, if Shane McMahon knows, do you think Triple H didn't go to Thanksgiving dinner and have this conversation with Shane and Stephanie? There's no way. Like, it's had to have come up. And if Triple H knows, Shawn Michaels knows. If Shawn Michaels knows, who else? There, you know, I think more people know. I think stuff's not being talked about. And maybe it's going through the legal whatevers right now. But I don't know, man. I think there's definitely more to these stories. And it's, I don't know if it's ever going to come out, man. But if, do we want it to come out? Is it going to kill the WWE? You know, Brock Lesnar's already done. How many more people got to take a fall? You know?
I think that the whole thing is just fear of repercussion. You know, if nothing gets done about it and somebody said something, then they don't want to worry about, you know, what happens with whatever career they have left or yada, yada, yada. I did see the Paul Roma interview. I had seen a longer version of that, him during a shoot interview talking about Jim Powers. And then I saw the Jim Powers clip where he talks about how, you know, there was propositions here and there from certain individuals that have passed away now that me and Tom have probably met in the past. And, you know, if you wanted to advance your career, you could do it through the office per se. And the person, you didn't even have to really do anything. You just had to kind of just lay there. I'll tiptoe around how I say this and, you know, let things happen. And then you could advance your career. And it makes you wonder, the guys that did really thrive there, did they take that offer up? Because I guess Paul Roma was saying that Jim Powers, they never really got along. But he said that he put a hard stop to it. And then when Jim Powers, he didn't just say no, he went to the office and complained about it. And that's when both of their careers imploded. Tag team-wise in that Young Stallions, Tom?
Yep.
Tag team?
Yeah.
And then Paul Roma ended up having the run with Hercules, Power and Glory, which I thought was better for him anyways, because he always seemed like a heel, you know, persona. He had that New Jersey kind of Guido kind of thing.
Go ahead, and then pretty wonderful also with Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff.
Yeah, terrible, terrible, terrible. And don't forget, he was in The Horseman too. You can't forget that he was an official Four Horsemen. And, you know, they had the B team, the Four Horsemen B team. Unfortunately, I know Steve McMichael just went in the Hall of Fame, but he's on my Four Horsemen B team. I have to say that. Jeff Jarrett also. Sorry, Jeff Jarrett. you know, Chris, want to add anything to the McMahon saga? I mean,
this stuff just leaves a big bad taste in my mouth. You know, as you guys know, I was a huge Vince fan growing up in the Attitude Era. Watching the shit that he did with Stone Cold was just unprecedented. You know, huge fan. And I know that there was supposed to be a documentary coming out on Netflix, I believe. I know they started filming that back, like, I think 2020 or something like that. That's in jeopardy. He's not in the new game. That's, you know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, it kind of sucks, you know, just seeing everything get ripped apart because of this. But hey, I mean, what are you going to do? You gotta get down to the nitty gritty, figure it out. And he's got to pay for it. Obviously, you know, justice will be served and the right thing is going to happen in the end. And it's just too bad. Like I said, it's just a sour, shitty taste in the mouth for me.
Yeah. I think that Vince has been a scumbag from way back, and being around that type of, it almost makes you look at how vanilla their presentation was, like, you know, ice cream bars and selling to kids. And ever since they were Disney when the NWA was wrestling. But the facade behind it, all this stuff that they could never pin him on, I think eventually, I don't know, you're going to event if you keep being like that, eventually something's going to stick. I mean, am I wrong by that saying that, or?
No, not wrong.
I don't know. I never thought that, even looking at him with his Mr. McMahon character. And did we all forget the Kiss My Ass Club? I mean, who comes up with stuff like that? I mean, it's like right in your face. Everything they did, the Trish Stratus back like a dog in front of a comatose Linda McMahon. Remember all that stuff?
Even back then, I thought that Kiss My Ass thing was weird. And then...
Isn't it?
Yeah. And then, don't forget, it was Lita and Edge, right? They basically made him fake having sex in the middle of the ring?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what the rated superstar thing. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So if you were a parent and you brought your kids to that show... they'll be talking about that. Dad, remember the time you brought me and then this stuff went on and I had never seen something like that? And it's just,
So I watched an interview with Chris Jericho the other day on YouTube, and he came out and was talking about, you know, they asked him, what's the craziest thing Vince McMahon ever asked you to do? And it was Jericho and someone else. They were like, well, you guys are just going to come out there and like, drop your towels and like be naked from the waist down. And Jericho was like, no, we're not. And Vince was like, yeah, you are, dude. Like, I'm the boss, is what you're doing. And Jericho had to go in his office and be like, Vince, are you insane? It's a live event, 20, 30,000 people. You want me to come out here and drop my towel? Are you like, what are you on right now? And Vince finally was like, okay. Put a towel on, but have like new, you know, briefs or whatever. But it was like, what are you fucking kidding me? You want to have two men? Like,
I was going to have you guys do that for the 100th episode, but, it's a no go.
Yeah, I'm down. Put some blow out there. I'm down. No, I'm playing. But Vince McMahon used to come up with just the craziest stuff. And there was even another one I watched. I forgot
the name. On Monday.
The female wrestler, they told her, well, hey, go into Vince's office, oil up your boobs, you know, put them in his face, and like, you know, you're gonna get some airtime. She was like, no, I'm not doing that shit. And you know, so you never heard of again, right? But like the stuff he was writing and putting on the show that we thought was just the part of the creative process, that was real life.
Right.
That's the yeah. wild thing.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And, you know, supposedly him and Linda never been, you know, never been officially divorced, but they haven't lived together in like years and years. So makes you wonder if she will. How did she not know all these years that he was like that? He didn't eventually turn into somebody like that. You must have seen the gradual, you know, decline.
Yeah, but she knew.
She's a lawyer too, and she's, you know, run for office in Connecticut and, you know, all that other stuff. So I don't know. What do you think? Wind this thing down this week or what?
Yep.
Everybody's excited. Including Chris. Look at Chris. Chris looks like Artie Lang on the Howard Stern Show.
Yes, he does. He does.
Thomas, speaking of Artie Lang, bring us home with some album of the week, please.
All righty. This week's album of the week is brought to you by Purchase Street Records, which is located at 53 Hope's Island, Unit 2, New Bedford, Mass. You can also visit them online at PurchaseSTRecords.com or on their Facebook page. Purchase Street Records is Southern New England's largest independent record store.
Boom, right there. So, a couple quick shout-outs from everybody before we bounce this week. I know it's getting late. Been a lot of stuff going on. Ed, why don't you start us off? Send us out on a positive note there.
Well, let's see. I'd like to say thank you very much for Dennis and Gabriel for coming on Thursday night. It was great to see Dennis and great to meet Gabriel and hear his story about type 1 diabetes and how he is excelling in the football world with that. I thought that was pretty awesome. Phantom, you still need to come on, brother.
Chris, what do you got?
Yeah, my shout out will go to the Fayhaven Police Department because I'm going to run amok all over this town. Pretty much every bar tonight is going to be a great fucking time.
Try not to fall down.
I'm safe if I do, buddy. I'm safe if I do.
You know what you need with that outfit is one of those World War One pilot helmets on with the leather on both sides.
1942.
Chris, you need one of those boxing headgear things on, like when you spy, just wear that out. Like Buddy Robbins from the Freebirds when they shaved his head. Thomas, what do you got?
Well, I want to give a shout out to my better half, my wife, Kelly. She's been on vacation this week, and rather than going on any exotic vacation, she helped me this week start putting the man cave together. This is just one side of it, and the rest of this weekend, I think we're going to work on the rest, and the rest will be done. I'll give everybody a quick view when we probably next week when we're done.
But, good.
Yeah, it's getting there.
Yeah, Ed, you could learn a thing or two, please.
You can't see it, Andy. You can't see it in this picture. You're in one of these pictures up here from you and the Phantom from the Flyers finals.
Yeah, you know what you got to do is you got to blur out the Phantom's yes. face. You have to do it like the world title when Flair showed up in WWF.
Yes.
You have to do it like that. You know, the copyright purposes. Bradford, what do you got?
I want to say hi to Mama AC. Sorry your son said the F word 3 times on this podcast. I will teach him to do better. Baseball season's back. Can't wait. It's back for us. Had our first travel ball tournament started today. My son's team, we lost both our games, so we got some work to do. Lucas did great, super proud of him. He actually came in and showed me on his tablet at the beginning of the podcast. He found us on YouTube.
I hope he's watching the episode, getting us over the top.
You know, he found the Mardi Gras episode, and I'm pretty sure me and Ed were both wasted on that one. So we have a junior fan club started. Lucas is the president, so there you go.
Well, someday we'll have all the kids on in the caption, just adding to it. Want to thank everybody for watching. People that are new to the show or the people that have you know, been watching since day one. We appreciate it. I'd love to acknowledge everybody. I'd love to have everybody on. There's only so many squares we can fit in this Zoom box before it starts looking too pixelated. Yeah, I just shout out to my mother that watches every week. You know, she preps me when I see her. She's like, "What is wrong with you guys? There's something bad happened."
I want to know, did her bushes ever grow back from back in the days when we parked at her house and went out?
Oh my God.
It's a kid's show, so I can't answer that question. I don't want to know any of that stuff. I get what you mean. You guys used to throw the beer cans in the arborvitaes to hide them when you know, a lot of underage drinking. We'll have to save that for a deep dive. So I would love to get her on here, but I think it would be a hot mess. It'd be funny as shit, especially after she's had a couple of glasses of wine, like on a Saturday. It'd be hilarious. She would start telling these stories, and it would just go off the rails. You think it's bad with the phantom clips, never mind with my mother on here. So shout out to my mother this week. We all love you.
Get her on the pod. Let's do it.
We'll talk to you guys next week. That's all we got.